Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Sparrow.
And we welcome you to our episode, which is about what today?
Today, we are going to be counting down our top five furry artists. You remember those like shows that would, they were like top 10 shows?
Oh, yeah. I still watch
them. MTV and Animal Planet.
Not on them. I usually watch top 5S. I watch Chills on YouTube. They always do like top 10 or top 30 like scariest videos. And I totally psych myself out. And it's like, why am I watching this at like, you know, 11 p.m. at night? I know I'm going to trick myself.
That's fun. I just remember being a kid and like getting home from school and turning on. Usually it had like Animal Planet. It was like top 5 most dangerous sharks or whatever.
Oh my God.
And it always had that announcer voice.
Yes.
So we have different categories for you guys today. We're going to be going over fursuit makers, toonie and feral artists, furry animators, artists for reference sheets, and artists for Telegram stickers.
Now, when I was compiling this list, there's just hundreds of thousands of different artists out there, and it's really hard to like go and look at every single one. So I kind of went off of, I didn't want to put the most popular, what like I guess you say poppy furries on the list. I wanted to also give some other people a chance to be on this list too. And it's not based off of like pricing or quality. It's just an overall, I guess you could say, perspective of each particular artist.
Yeah. It's also a mix of our opinions. Like, you know, while we do consider the fandom as a whole, we're also pretty opinionated individuals, I would say.
Yeah. So with fursuit makers, there's a lot of really good fursuit makers out there. And there are a lot that didn't make it on the list. It's not because I didn't want to put them on there. It's more or less because I wanted to find, you know, good content for you guys. And I wanted to be fair as well. So coming in fifth, I put Beast Cub.
Beast Cub has been around for a long, long time. That was actually, and I hear Beast Cub hears this all the time. I'm sure they're kind of sick of it, but that's how I got introduced to fursuits and the furry fandom. I was just diddling around on YouTube looking for a tutorial on how to make a werewolf mask for Halloween. And I was in like 7th grade. And I ended up running into a video of Beast Cub's wolf quad suit from like, I don't know, 2010, and fell in love with it. And it became my hyper fixation. And my first attempt at a fursuit was a white wolf quad suit. It looked like a chewed up piece of bubble gum that had dog hair rolled around in it. It was the ugliest thing, but I was so proud of it. I used it as our basketball mascot in middle school, this ugly thing bumbling around a basketball court. And it's all because of Beast Cub.
And they really do have some super unique quad suits. They're very well known for what they do. They also have like this, I'm trying to find it real quick. It's this exception list where if you commission them something based off of their list, your chances of being pushed to the front of the line are very high.
I remember they used to have something like that. Oh, is it furs I need clients for? Maybe.
Maybe.
Character design ideas. I need. Oh, no, it's just fur. They just have fur that they want to use, the interesting patterns and types. But, oh, man, so I don't know if this has changed or not. I don't think it has, but Beast Cub actually does not consider themselves to be a furry. They just genuinely enjoy making costumes and animals in particular, but they are not a furry. They just are a costume maker, and the furry fandom fell in love with them, and they've just kind of shooshed their way into our group, and they've been there ever since.
Yeah. And they're good. They're amazing. I really want to find this because the list is kind of funny.
You know, I used to do that, actually. One of my favorite fursuits that I've made within the past, like, I would like to say 3 years, Ben the Rat. He's always like one of the top fursuits I put in my gallery, like immediately, because he's one of my favorites. And that commission was discounted by a couple $100 because I wanted to make a rat. So I had a list of animals where if you commission me for this animal, I would give you a certain percentage off. I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was on the list, and hadley doodly, I made it. I loved it, and it's like top in my gallery every time.
I can't find it.
You're having a hard time.
There was this one that was like something being like a quadriplegic, like something, and it was really like, I don't know what it was, but it was just really out there. So I don't know. Maybe they don't have it anymore, which is a bummer because it's so effing funny. If you guys find it, let us know. But they have like this exception list where they have like a list of ideas that they want to do. And if, like I said, if you select one of those ideas, then they'll be like, sure, we'll get that done for you and we'll bump it to the front of the line. But keep in mind that their ideas are not average ideas you would think of. They're kind of weird. So you have to like get in that headspace, but I can't find it. So I guess it's not there.
My favorite fursuit that they have ever made is their Border Collie quad suit, because it's like, it's so puppy. It's so toony and cute, but also it's like a healthy mix between toony and realistic, which is what I would say their style is as a whole. Semi-realistic is a style that isn't very popular anymore. It used to be. But they just have it down perfectly. And this Border Collie quad suit is so cute. And from the front, it looks like it's smiling. His little tongue is hanging out. I would love to have a quad suit of my childhood dog.
Yeah. In fourth place, we have Furry Machine. Now, I couldn't find a website for Furry Machine. They have a Twitter, and it's kind of weird how they break it up, because they have their Twitter for Furry Machine, but then they also say Fursuit Maker, and you can go to the Fursuit Maker Twitter page, and then they have this same amount of stuff picture-wise on there. I'm not really sure how to like navigate it, but the best that I can find is there was a FA site or an FA page that they had, and they do have a lot of cute stuff pretty well. And what I noticed that they're going to be known for is not the fursuit itself, but the fursuit feet paws. Kind of like almost toony realistic on the bottom. The best way I can explain this is that I want to touch the toe beans because they look juicy. I don't
They're like a mochi minky. They're like super plush.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just, it's really cute. Now, I don't really know much about this particular fursuit maker, but you know, they have a lot of good stuff on here. I didn't see them on any like Fursuit Beware, so that's always a good thing. And so I think they deserve, you know, a mention here, especially being on the list. So I think it's pretty cool.
Something that's really unique and adorable about their style is specifically the eyes. The eyes are set into the head, and you can see like the way they shaved the fur. You can see like lines where the eyelids would be, and they just look very natural to the face. And also the way their muzzles are carved into the cheeks.
Yeah.
You can see the different like bone structure. It's not just a hunk of foam. It feels like there's bone structure underneath these fursuits. And that is so difficult to accomplish, especially if you're working with foam. And I don't know what kinds of bases they use. I'm going to assume it's either foam or foam cast. But their shapes are really unique for each character, even if it's the same species. So I believe these are foam bases. Yeah, there's a picture of a base on their Fur Affinity, actually. It is a completely hand-carved foam base. And it looks beautiful. Like, their work looks great.
And speaking of the eyes too, the eye artwork is so detailed. It just looks so cool. Sometimes you can really tell like someone's like just painting this on, but this one, I can't tell. Like, it kind of looks like it might have been like high quality print, and that's about like as high as I can really make it sound. But I just realized that one of their fursuits, Matrix Bunny, is an account I follow on Twitter. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I do know this maker. I just haven't really thought about it.
I know. And on this one, I think my favorite fursuit on their Fur Affinity gallery, and it's such a simple, basic design, but their Husky Partial, their latest piece there, I think that one is my favorite purely because of the way they built that structure of the face. On this particular suit that they made, the smile is like perfect.
It's like a cartoon that came to life.
Yes, it's just so, it's insane how much depth the face has. There's so many different layers. Instead of just being one layer that is the muzzle and then another layer that is the cheeks, it's like the muzzle itself has its own, has two layers to it, and then the cheeks are a third layer, and it's just insane. I love it.
So if you're interested, we'll have everything on this list. I'll actually make this document a public document so you guys can go in there. You can't edit it, but you can click on the links. It makes it so much easier for you guys. And then you kind of just go play on their Twitter and their Fur Affinity, and you can find all sorts of fun stuff. In third place, this one will sound familiar to you. It may not sound familiar to our followers, but I put Sockeye Studios. And do you know who they are?
Why did you put me on here? How am I going to talk about my own stuff, Space?
Because you're amazing, and I feel like you deserve to be on this list. You make please. Really cool stuff.
I try.
She made this huge, like, muzzle fursuit, like a furry plush muzzle, this giant, okay? Like, huge. And I'm like, that's really cool. I love that. And then she made a giant foot Did it have like a bone in it too?
No, it was a gore cut off on the ankle. Man, okay. I tried to make that foot to help us with our like apartment deposit. And I was like, the mouth sold really well. And there were like two people fighting over it, over offers. I was like, maybe this will happen with a big foot too. Because people fight over maws and paws all the time. So I was like, all right, I'll make a giant foot paw, see how it sells. And that thing did not sell. It took me bumping down the price to $300 for it to sell.
I mean, I could easily see someone like trying to crawl into this or putting their head in there or something.
Oh, in the mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, the mouth was cool. Like, I'm not into vor or anything, but making that and like interacting with it was a very cool experience. I would definitely love to make another one. Maybe a dragon.
Yeah, a dragon would be really cool.
A dragon would be fun.
But what's unique about your specific business is that you're very, what do you call it? You've got multi-talents. You're not just focusing on just one specific thing. She does wood burns, and her wood burns are awesome.
Yeah, and that's a new hobby. I am really excited about wood burns. My first one actually sold like a month or so ago. Not my first wood burn, but it was my first sale of a wood burn. Somebody had messaged me and was like, hey, is this wood burn for sale? Can I buy it? And I was like, oh, sick. Yes, you can buy this one. I don't mind. And I was very excited about that. And I'm hoping to be able to donate to conventions for the charity art auctions, do some wood burns for those. I think that would be really fun.
What's neat about this, because it's a newer hobby for you, every time you make a new item and you put it on your website, you can see the improvement of the quality that she's doing, which is really unique. And every single one that you do is different, but I really love that sea turtle one.
Oh, yeah. I made that one for my coworker. I tried to go with realism because she's not a furry. But I was like, you know what? I want to do something besides just a sea turtle. So I put coral growing off of its back.
You also do sculptures and little puppet thingies, I think.
I used to make puppets back in like high school. So I only have really old examples in there, but something I want to get back into. So I have that tab on my website to just remind me like, hey, remember to make some puppets. Because that's something you like to do.
And what's interesting here is that on your site, you have costumes and fursuits. Now, if you go to costumes, you were to look at it, you'd be like, that's a cool looking fursuit. What makes you kind of separate the two?
So for me, the difference between a costume and a fursuit is that you could take the items under the costume tab to any kind of event, like a haunted house or a Halloween parade or anything like that. And people wouldn't look at it and say fursuit, even though it is based, it has similar building methods or similar bases. Some of the bases are from actual fursuit makers that I've incorporated and altered. But what makes them not fursuits is exterior materials.
Just burlap.
Yeah, all of them right now in here are burlap monsters. I really want to make my costumes just out of strange materials that wouldn't normally be used. Like, I would love to make some masks out of more paper mache. That wouldn't be considered a fursuit to me. That is a different type of costume entirely. Or recycled materials. I would love to make masks out of maybe old tire rubber and bottle caps and things like that. Right now, all I have is my burlap creatures, but I'm going to be expanding upon this page as well with other unconventional materials turned into wearable art pieces.
You know, there is a, I guess you could say it's a costume meets a furry or a fursuit. It's this guy who basically made like 8-bit, made an 8-bit fursuit basically, but it's kind of built out 3D-dimensional wise, but it's made of paper.
Ooh.
You wouldn't know it's made of paper unless you went up there and you touched it, but it's so cool. I think I've retweeted it a few times on the Surfing the Muzzle account on Twitter. So if you want to go see that, just go to our retweets. You should be able to see it there.
I've seen like you could get paper patterns on Etsy for different animal masks too, and they're polygonal, which is really cool.
Polygonal?
Polygonal. That's when it's like really shapey, like old video game characters.
Yeah, I get that. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Oh yes, there it is. Here is an example copy, and I'll just put this in chat so you can take a look at it. The video, but I love the way that it's built out. It's so cool.
Oh yeah, I've seen this suit. It looks like a Minecraft deer.
Yeah, there you go. Minecraft
deer. Yeah, it's a Minecraft deer. I think that's what they were going with.
And they just have really cool stuff. I think what they eventually want to do is 3D print it so that it still remains that quality of that like Minecraft-ish stuff.
Yeah.
But right now they're kind of building everything out of paper to get the dimensions first. And then I think they may either A, scan that into a model, or they'll build the model from there.
Mm-hmm.
So It's really, really cool. Their name is at HB Sprites, or known as Handlebar Sprites, if you guys want to just check them out.
That's clever, because it's a deer.
Yeah. In second place, now this was hard because I actually had this fursuit maker as first place, but I switched it last second, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But in second place, we have Lacey, or Fursuits by Lacey, which is a really well-known maker, but their quality is like the tits.
They are a classic. They've been around for a long time. Like, whenever I think of fursuits that I saw when I was first introduced to the fandom, it's Beast Cub and Lacey.
Yeah, that's what it would be. They have great quality. They have tons of different fursuits you can take a look at and see what you want. They're overall, like, you know a Lacey suit when you see it. So it's just because of its quality.
It's so recognizable. It's, for me, what's the recognizable style is the mixture of tunie with airbrushing to smooth out their details, which I really like. And the way their eyes are framed, the way they build out, it's either felt or fleece. But their eyes, the way they're framed, the way they make the eyelids, and it's like the black line around the eyelids is only on the top. That's a very Lacey thing to do.
Yeah.
And I love it. Did you know that there is something called the Lacey pocket?
No.
It is where they...
Is it a pocket in the fursuit?
They leave a... And they might not do this for all suits, but I remember reading this somewhere. It's where Lacey made a feature on fursuits. If you have a hair poof, they'll keep the front of the hair poof unsewn, so you could slide your room key into your hair poof while you're fursuiting.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. That's genius. I wonder if they have that in their commission.
I don't know. I don't remember where I got that information from. I just remember it. If I'm wrong, I'm so sorry, but I am 90% sure it was the Lacey pocket.
That's so cool, though. Let's see if I can find anything on there. Maybe they do talk about it.
I tried Googling it. I didn't see anything. Then again, I'm on my teacher computer, so a lot of websites are blocked.
What they do have, like, on their commission page, I like this, that they have something called replacement parts. So if you're returning a full suit, client seeking replacement parts for your suit, they're available to you at a 10% discount. And then you discuss with them what it is that you need to have replaced.
That's great.
I know that generally most fursuit makers will go ahead and make adjustments if there is any, but it's really cool that they have that particular there. And they also have a warranty as well, which is really interesting. A 90-day warranty.
They also have a lifetime limited warranty, which is something I do not see often with fursuits. Like, as it says there, the lifetime limited warranty is valid for the life of the costume. Repairs and alterations are always available for a fee once the 90-day full warranty period has passed. So they're always happy to take a suit back for a fee after 90 days, but they'll take it, right? Which is so great because you never know what'll happen to your fursuit. And it's most of the time, it's not in the fault of the fursuit maker's construction. It's just the nature of wearing something that is handmade. You might have a pop seam one day, or maybe you wash it wrong and something falls off or whatever.
Yeah.
And if it happens after 90 days, then you still have the option to go back and get it fixed. I think that's wonderful.
They also have something on their site that says concept art or art liberty. And what it says is if you have a character or a set design in mind, reference artwork is highly recommended before submitting an order. However, if you don't have artwork or a general concept instead, they'll offer an artistic liberty fursuit. I don't know what that means.
So an artistic liberty fursuit is when you go to a fursuit maker with a vague idea. Like, maybe you have a theme and a species, or maybe you have a species and a color palette, and then your fursuit maker designs it for you. And usually some fursuit makers will make it cheaper because it's more fun for them to get to design something that they want.
Yeah.
But other times it might cost more because you're also paying the fursuit maker to design a character for you. It just depends on the fursuit maker.
That's pretty cool.
But it's really neat. I've done an Artistic Liberty fursuit before. It was like, I don't know, 9 years ago, probably around that. It was a toucan mixed with a raptor.
That's cool.
It was fun. So that's what they gave me. They said, I want these two animals, design it for me. And I did.
And last but not least, in first place, which was in second place, but there's a reason why I switched it to the first, is Beauty of the Base. They're known for some of the most badass fursuits you'll ever find in the fandom. They're so freaking detailed, and they're not afraid to show gore and horror, which is amazing. Now, I wouldn't say they're like the cutest. I would just say that they're definitely the most detailed, coolest looking fursuits out there.
They are very detailed and they look quality. They're getting up close and personal with these photos of their suits. They are not scared to show you the nitty gritty. Like, I could guarantee, especially with the mouths, I could guarantee you most fursuit makers do not want you looking that close to the inside of the mouth because it's a hard place to stitch. It's just, it's usually not somewhere where people go to focus in on unless the maw is intentionally detailed. Most people say the eyes are like the window to the soul and it can be like that with fursuits. I think with Beauty of the Base, it's the mouth.
Yeah.
The mouth is the window to the soul for them.
I saw one fursuit head or one part of the mouth where it looks like they're dripping like drool. Mm-hmm. And they added that as an attachment to the fursuit head, which I think is so cool.
So gross and cool, yeah.
It's kind of like looking at the Cheshire Cat, you know? It's mesmerizing. It's just, you know, it makes you... Oh, I don't know. It's got like a dark feeling to it,
uncomfortable,
but in a good way.
But like not in
somewhat
a bad
excited
way.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do really good quality. I highly recommend it. Now, the reason I put them at top of the list is because I've not seen something like this on a fursuit maker page. Maybe there's others that do it, but this is what stuck out to me. They have a tab. It's kind of central, like almost to the middle of the page. It says Fan Works. And what it is if you have fan art of their fursuits or of the maker themselves and you submit it to them, they'll put it on their website for you to see full frontal. And that's really cool. I think that's really neat to have. It's a great way to advertise, but it's also a great way for you to show appreciation of your fans. And that's just super neat. And you can look at all the different ones and I just think it's really cool.
That is very cool. I know Beauty of the Base caused a surge of people making Smiler-themed fursuit characters. Because
yeah.
Their original character, it used to be inspired by the roller coaster, the Smiler, and then they changed the design and separated it from the roller coaster. I don't know 100% why, but if I were them, part of my why would be because everybody started doing the same thing, and that would make me uncomfortable. But they separated the character totally from that. It's its own unique thing now. But it is sick. All of their work is sick.
They probably separated themselves from Smiler because Smiler had that really bad accident where people like lost their limbs. I think someone died on it too.
Oh,
so
really?
They probably wanted to separate themselves from that kind of thing going on.
I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. So what happened was they were testing to make sure everything was working. So they sent a test cart out. But what they didn't know is that it didn't make it back. It got stuck on the bottom of like a loop. So it's just kind of hanging there. And then they sent out another cart with everyone loaded onto it. And then at full speed, they smack into the back of it. And it kind of like melds together. And you can hear people screaming. It was awful.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, even to this day, I've seen like just little like videos here and there, and it just kind of shakes you to your core.
Golly.
So I think if anything, maybe they wanted to separate themselves from that specifically.
Maybe so. That makes sense. I'm surprised I've never heard about
that. It
could
be copyright too.
Considering there are a lot of like defunct roller coasters or roller coaster accident stories or whatever on YouTube that end up popping up when I'm letting it do its own thing.
Yeah.
But man, that makes sense. What Beauty of the Base was originally known for was having speakers installed into their fursuit so that when they walked around, they could play music and they would also have like a voice changer on their suit so they could talk in it. And it sounded really intimidating and scary. And they really evolved that concept over the past 5 years or so. And it's still just so cool and unique. I have to say, of all the styles of fursuits I've seen, some of the most unique are definitely things like Beauty of the Base, or he's not around anymore, but Face Rot is another one that's not scared to get nasty and has really cool details. It's just, I want to see more of this. And it's something that I strive for, honestly, like not necessarily the style, but being able to go to an extreme with a style instead of just going with a bass toonie, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. And
I get that.
It's cool. Ugh, so cool.
Such a dork.
It's cool. I like the newest one they have in here. Velkner, the like bony, fleshy boy.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty. I love it.
Nasty.
All right. Are we ready for our feral artists?
Yes. So these are Toonle.
Toonle.
Toodles. These are Toonie and feral artists combined. So the first one is Toon FX, or on their website, it's called Toon Fox. I really like what they do. I thought we were on animators for a second. I'm like, oh my God, they don't have anything animated. I made the list wrong. I think they're primarily a traditional artist, and they do a lot of comic books, comic strips.
I was going to say, it looks like color pencil watercolors.
It's got like this nostalgic kind of thing about it. Like, yeah, you can make, most comics are done, you know, digitally, but in this case, it's really cool. And I just like the way that they shape things. I like the colors that they use. It's just really overall kind of cool. I don't really know how to explain it.
I know how to explain it. So whenever I think of the type of furry art that I saw when I first joined the fandom, this is what I see. I see TunaFX's work. It's very nostalgic to me when I think of like early 2000s furry artwork. It has the traditional art aspect because digital art was not that popular. Watercolors, the very like Looney Tunes, but personalized-esque. Does that make sense? Like it's not Looney Tunes, but you could definitely see it's closer to Looney Tunes style than it is to like Disney, for example. If we're going on a spectrum from Looney Tune to Disney, it's closer to Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I get that.
And I love it. This is, man, I want to get some art of my characters done in this nostalgic style. It is my favorite.
It's really cool. It's fun. In fourth place, this was a new one for me. I'm not familiar with the artist, but I really do like their art style, is Ashara. Now, I don't really know how to say the last name, so I'm just going to wing it here. Cletit?
I think
it's... Or Cletit?
Ashara
Cletit?
Cletit? I think Cletiti.
Cletiti, maybe?
Cletete?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I like Cletite. It's like we're really sorry if we got this wrong, but we did our best, okay?
I was like looking at their page, like, do they go by something else? Nope, it's just Ashara.
They have some really good artwork. Different, I don't know. I mean, a lot of artists kind of mesh together, and they kind of seem like everyone else. But I try to find artists that have something different. And I feel like there's something different with this artist.
Something that I think is great is the way they're rendering fur. It's like they're chunking it out with the line art and then going back in with a combination of cell shading and soft shading that really just gives it a good texture. Another thing that Ashara is doing very well is their backgrounds, first of all. Beautiful backgrounds. I feel like so many artists fall into the habit of being intimidated by backgrounds and avoiding it, but it adds to a character when you can put them in a setting. And I mean, just as a language arts teacher, I always tell my students, whenever you're building a character, you can brainstorm your character all day long, but if you don't think about the setting they're interacting with, you can't have a story. And I think that's very similar with artwork. If you don't have a setting or props or something for the character to interact with, then it doesn't have as much context clues. You can't learn as much about the characters. And the characters aren't just floating in the settings either. They are anchored in there. They're blending with it. It's very obviously intentional that they made sure to incorporate the character into the setting's design. They're not just drawing the character and then be like, okay, now let's figure out the setting. It seems like they're intentionally drawing both at the same time to make sure they're mashing together.
If you want to look at some of their stuff, they do have a Fur Affinity page. They have some fairly new artwork out. I really like the one named Haiti. I'm not sure if it's a bear. Oh, it is a bear. So it's Haiti the bear. But it's just so cute. It's just super cute. I love how vibrant it is. I just like how it kind of just sticks out.
We love bears in this house.
Hell yeah, we do. By the way, Boomy is starting to think about being a bear.
We're all going to be bears.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's the bear conspiracy.
I can barely wait.
Conspiracy.
In third place, another new one for me. This is Raining Coyotes. I like the way they did their website, and I like the font that they use, but that's not the reason why I chose them.
I'm looking at it on a laptop, but it feels like I'm scrolling my phone with the way the buttons are shaped and everything, and I really like that.
They do a lot of the, you know, the character here and then like a blurred background, but it almost seems like they're almost like still shots of a cartoon animation.
Oh, like an animation cell almost. I could see that.
Yeah. It's really cool. And it seems just personal. And I don't know. I just really liked it. I thought their quality was really well done here.
I like the way they are shading also. They are also combining cell shading and soft shading. I love it when artists do that because I feel if you combine the two and don't just stick to one, it adds more dimension to your work. It's not just sticking to one thing. Do you know the difference between cell and soft shading?
No.
Okay, so click on the image of the winking dog. It's like cream and white with a yellow collar. If you look at this image, some of the shading has like a soft edge to it, and then a lot of the highlights have hard lines to it.
Yeah.
Cells shading is the hard lines, and soft shading is the blended lines.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I can see that.
So the combination of both is awesome. They also do a really great job with making the eyes really detailed.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the eyes, and if I look at the pupil of this one, it almost looks like they're reflecting a background of mountains, like they're winking at the mountain.
Yeah.
That's really cool. They have some really cool stuff there.
Something I also really like when artists do is when they make the pupils not black. I'm clicking through their gallery and most of these characters, they don't have black pupils. They're usually a darker shade of the outer eye, which I prefer that. I know it's not realistic, but I think it makes the art look softer, which is appropriate for this art style, especially.
Take a look at the image. It's kind of like cream colored and it looks like they're holding someone else who's doing like a semi wink.
Yes.
There are. Okay. You got it. Mm-hmm. Look at the ears.
Yeah. It's like a cloud pattern.
Yeah. That's cute. Really cool.
Oh, and the other one too is a sunset pattern. It's like day and night.
What kind of kills me, like just in general, when people put patterns on artwork, you can definitely tell that it was just slapped on there, but there's no dimension to it. So it just kind of looks like a wallpaper and then someone drew over it. This actually looks like it's part of it. It's really cute. I like it.
So adorable.
I like it. Picasso. In second place, we have Sparky Spark. Every time I see that, I want to say Sparky Can Do, but it's not who they are. They are someone different.
Okay, I feel like this character this makes sense why it's so high for you. Just looking at their persona, Sparky Spark, the space dino, It's an alien dinosaur thing. Like even in their description, it says dino shapeshifter from space. We love a good space themed critter, and this one is so cute.
To the nines.
Oh, look at them go. Okay, so in their reference sheet for their persona, they have a little chibi drawing of it in the top right corner wearing a little space suit with a little pew pew gun. And and it reminds me of like the cool math games space astronauts.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So good.
But I really liked it. I went through their whole gallery and I just like the smile. The way that they do like a happy expression smile, it makes it look so innocent, but at the same time, it makes it just look so present, I guess. I don't know. It just looks really good. I know I'm going to say this like a lot. It looks really good, but truly it does. You can see the list. Oh, this one's really cool. It's on their Twitter page. It's from January 16th. It's got like a purple and blue kind of scribbled background to it. Mm-hmm. And what looks to be like, I don't know if it's an angel dragon, but they got like Dumbo ears almost. And then they have their little space character with it, but as a plush.
I do see it. Oh, okay. So you're definitely right. The expressions really hit it for me with this artist.
Yeah.
Like it's...
They're an expressionist.
Okay.
Okay.
Whatever. I also really like their commissions open label. It looks like a sticker. And it's where the cheeks meet the eyes for me. Like that smile line. They have that down pack perfect.
Yeah. And in first place is the one and only, our graphic artist, Deer Dog. She is probably one of the best artists I know because I only go to her really for commission ideas for either like things to use in our thumbnails. She's highly versatile when it comes to creating something based off of what you tell her. And then she'll come back with something really cool or really goofy. And she's pretty flexible. I mean, she's got really good art. She's mostly toony in this particular case, but I don't know. I think highly of her and I highly recommend her.
The thing I like the most about Deer Dog's art,
simple,
is it's simplistic, but it has like a very... It's like pop art for me. The way it's more about the shapes than it is anything. It could translate to stickers extremely well. It could translate to like storybooks, like kids' books. It's such an adorable style that is very recognizable. And there's a lot of tunie styles out there, but the way that their lines blend with their colors, and they're not line art heavy most of the time. They really focus on those chunks of color separating the parts of their image that I think is just, it's great composition overall.
Now, we used your dog in the mood boards episode. If you guys remember listening to that, and you would see the different mood boards that she created, you can kind of see the, I guess you could say, the creativity and inspiration of what she can do. And I know that it may be crazy to be like, well, why is she first and not someone else that's like amazing? Because again, I wanted to feature artists that were different, not necessarily well known in this particular category. I really wanted to kind of showcase other artists because they definitely deserve it. And then in this case, I really do feel that Dear Dog deserves it. Plus, she's an animator too. She has a YouTube channel, so...
Dear Dog has a whole section in their gallery that is just sharks. And the way they draw them, I'm like, oh, yeah. Dear Dog, I want to see you draw an alligator so bad.
She has drawn an alligator.
What? I haven't seen it. Oh, yeah, so alligator.
Go to her Insta, go to her Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And then it's the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4,
you're
five,
counting
six, sixth
me?
One. Or it's second down from the far right. It's the green one. It's a shark wearing an alligator costume.
Oh, the hat one?
I guess it's a hat.
No, that's not an alligator. I don't know what that is, but it has like a... Well, no, maybe it is an alligator costume. I just want to see a pure alligator, though.
Tell you
just
what,
alligator straight up.
An alligator. I think I remember she was telling me something. She's like, I have a thing for sharks right now. And she was just creating sharks. That was it. She posts a lot of her artwork in our furry chat on Telegram. So you can see a lot of like work in progress going on there.
Oh, they have drawn an alligator. It's in watercolor. It's traditional art. Oh, it's so cute.
I'll have to go down and see that.
Saving it. Okay. So Dear Dog, if you're listening, you would kill it in an Artist Alley at a convention. If you haven't done that yet, you need to get yourself some stickers, some keychains, some prints, and just go. Just try it, because I think they would be flying off the shelves, especially things like stickers and keychains.
Oh, yeah. I think she might think of herself as underrated, but I think she's amazing. She's really, what do you call it, humble about her stuff.
Don't be humble.
So when I said that, like, she was on two lists, she was. She's on two lists.
List number one.
She was like, I don't deserve to be on a list. And I'm like, too bad I put you on there. So I'm the producer here. I can do what I want. It's a fantastic artist. So.
Agree.
And she's got good prices too. Turnaround time is fairly quick. So you got that going for her. All right. What's our next category?
Our next category is going to be our top five furry animators.
Now, this one was a fairly easy one. So let me just get these pulled up real quick and ready to go so I can just move on to the next one. Let's see here. Here we go. Okay. So in fifth place, you may be familiar with this particular person's animation, is Wagner Mutt. They're primarily on YouTube and they do a lot of little like short animations. I think the longest one I've ever seen them do is like maybe 1 minute, but they're really cute. They're really simple. You know, it's not like top quality artwork or anything, but they really do have some fun ways of creating their art. One that I like, it's called Wedgie in My Booty. It's part of a meme. It's such a good one. And then the Burnt Rice is a really good one too.
It seems like a style that's very simple, but in a way that gives them opportunity to do goofy ass shit with their character. Because you can't do goofy ass shit with a character that is too complicated, whether in design or just in how it's drawn. You know what I mean?
They're not like super finesse. It's just they drew something, they put it together. It's amazing. And they also have 81,000 followers. So there you go. And a lot of their videos have like a couple million hits on them.
And you could tell that they know what they're doing just based on, like, even though it's a simple character that's drawn in a simple way, you have to know the rules in order to stylize. And also, like, you could see their other work that isn't animations that is just super detailed, hella shaded. I think the only thing they have on their YouTube is a time lapse. It's just hard to explain, but that you gotta know the rules to break the rules. You know what I mean?
Exactly. In fourth place, we've got Fatty Dragonite. We've had them on as a guest. They're incredibly humble and down to earth.
Fatty Dragonite is so nice.
He really is. But I'll tell you what, it's his animation that really puts him on the list. I wanted to put him on first place or at least second place, but there were other good contenders too that deserve to be in that place. But he definitely deserves to be on this list. He's got one. It's most known. It's called Vending Machine. And it's just a really cute story, but it's how he does his animations. It's got like the classic Hayao Miyazaki thing where the music really just encapsulates you, brings you into it. A lot of the animations, I kind of make references to his artwork just like that. But it's so, I don't even know, like you could get goosebumps watching it. And I think it's really good.
They do a great job telling a story without having to have too much dialogue.
Yeah. Rules is a good one for that. They posted that one about 2 years ago. They have a new one. It's Horns.
I haven't watched that one yet.
That's a really cute one. Yeah, that's a really cute one. I really recommend it.
Oh, it was just uploaded 1 month ago. That's why I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so it's fairly new.
You know, it's weird. I don't see Vending Machine on their YouTube channel right now.
You have to scroll down.
I don't see it. I scrolled all the way down.
It's from 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't see it anywhere. So strange. Well,
I see it, so that's weird.
Oh, wait, no, there it is.
Yep, there it is.
Found it.
A lot of their characters tend to be like overweight, but
we love the representation though.
Yeah, don't think that that's a bad thing. Don't steer away from that. They have just amazing quality.
Also, there aren't enough animators that focus on plus size characters anyway. I love that that's a part of it.
And I like that, like, you can watch it and then you can kind of like, I don't know, what's the word? You basically can make a connection with it.
Yeah, you can make a self-connection.
All of his stuff. You can definitely make a self-connection, which is pretty much what this third place artist does, Jib Cody.
Oh my God, yes.
Jib Cody is an artist that just knows how to really tell a story in a short amount of time, but it really brings you in. Like it just ropes you and pulls you in super quickly. And some of their stuff is really emotional.
A lot of it is.
A lot of it is, yeah. So I think there was one where they get pulled over and it's a cop that's like checking and to kind of see, you know, it's the depiction of the, you know, someone next to him would have been African-American, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
It was a furry character, but it was just like an eye-opening moment because you realize this is exactly how the situation is on the street now. But they brought that into a cartoon, very short time period, and it just, I don't know. It really puts you in your place.
They have another one that talks about, like, if you're in a military family, you know that your parent is going to have to go back and leave you for a while. And just what emotions that both the child and the parent have to go through with that process repeatedly. Like, and they did that around the Ukrainian events happening. Furries love to do this. And that's what I really love about the fandom, taking very human elements of how we live our lives and how we have to deal with being human and bringing it into this realm of anthropomorphic animals. In order to just personify that struggle and those experiences further. That's something that Jib does a great job with.
Yeah, I think in that one, it's a Ukrainian soldier because they've got the Ukraine patch on their arm. But that one makes me cry. A lot of their stuff makes me cry because it's just so personal. And then there are other ones that are just super funny. Like one that they just posted was, do you ever feel like you're in a plastic bag? And it's really just like this, kind of looks like a Calvin and Hobbes tiger that's just flying around. And then they zoom out and he's just in a plastic bag moving around. So they have some pretty funny stuff. But that's why they're third here. They just have good quality.
And one of my like favorites that they've posted recently was the late night nudes one. And when you're at a convention and you don't have any food options, so you're just eating ramen noodles and pizza and you have a bunch of people eating all this shit food around you, like just trying to survive. I'm like, oh man, it sounds like a rough situation, but it's a good time.
And it looks like they did a Bluey one as well.
Yeah, they did.
Which, by the way, we are going to be doing an episode about Bluey.
We love Bluey.
We love Bluey. In second place, you probably are familiar with our artwork, but you may not be familiar with the name, is Deadly Comics. Now, I'm trying to figure out, there's one, I'm going to see if there's one that's specific.
On the Wing is one I've seen a lot.
Which is?
On the Wing and Cool Times Beauty. Those are two that I've seen floating around the internet, for a while.
Yeah. Cool Times Beauty is a really cool one. I like that one. Oh, That's what it is. So they have one, you watch it and you kind of just go, oh, it's so cute. But it's Whereabouts Did You Come From?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. It's so cute. And I kind of refer, the way I make the connection with them is I think that their main character, which is a raccoon, looks just like the main mascot for Fur Affinity. So yeah. When I looked at it, I'm like, is this for Affinity? And I'm like, no, never mind. It's not. It's not at all. They're highly cartoonistic. I think that's a word.
Cartoonist.
And yeah. And I really love them. I think they have some good stuff, but it's really up there. And in first place, as no shock to really anyone, Lackadaisy.
Oh, Lackadaisy. God, what a nostalgic name. They've been around for a long time.
They got web comics, regular comics. Their characters are super well thought out. And now they're making a movie. This movie has been in the making for years. So I can't wait for it to come out. I saw the trailer for it and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I think at one point in time in my Fur Media days, we actually had one of the head artists actually come onto our show, but I wasn't really familiar with them. Punya was more familiar with them than I was. So, you know, it's kind of cool. We've had them interviewed before, but I really want to interview them again because their stuff is just the tits.
And the style is so unique too. Like, I mean, the concept itself is
20s.
Is yeah, just 1920s. Or is it? Nope. I'm very bad at roaring.
It's during the time. 20. It's like Flapper Girl time meets Prohibition. Kind of like the style. So really, really well done here.
Oh, man. Gorgeous. I'm very excited for the film. I actually didn't see the trailer until about maybe a week ago. And my partner was like, hey, you remember Lackadaisy? And I was like, yeah, of course. And she said, look at this. And showed me. And I was like, no way. I'm so excited.
And that does it for our top furry animators. Those are some of the more well-known ones. But because they're well-known, they also have just really good art. So we're going on to our fourth category, which is
artists for reference sheets, which whenever I think of like furry art, my brain doesn't go to reference sheets first, but it's such an important part of being a furry because that's what you have to use to send off to get anything made, fursuits, artwork. Like it's the first thing
get commissions. When you need a reference.
Yeah, you need it. It's necessary.
Yeah. So let me get this all set up here. La-da-da-da-da. Here we go. All right. So for the most part, reference sheets kind of blend in together. There's a lot of artists that have about the same style. And while they can be different from each other, they all kind of look pretty close from one to the next. So this one was a really hard one for me to really find like good artists. I'm telling you, I mean, I could probably redo this list several times just because there was a lot of good people out there, but I just wanted to find something that was unique. So in fifth place, Sparrow, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so you're so quiet. In fifth place is My Furry Art. There's just something different about their reference sheets. They're simple, but they're clean and they look like they're pretty good quality. They have a whole variety of them. They've got like coyote. They've got a snake, which I think you'll like.
Yeah, I'm looking at the snake right now.
Yeah.
I like that they have a like Naga version of the snake and a version with legs.
Yeah. They have just some really good stuff here. I think it's top quality. I think they deserve to be on this list. I know that it's not a reference sheet per se, but one of their drawings called Bad Cell is pretty cool because it looks like it's, you know, 80s, 90s kind of era. But they do a really good job of just kind of setting the mood with it.
I really like the way they draw hand and feet paws.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, especially on the reference sheets when they have the hands separated, like the fingers are such a good shape.
What I also liked was kind of different is the color bar. Some, in my opinion, most artists out there will just do like little circles or like handprints or squares, like singular squares of the color of the fursuit or the, I guess, the reference. But in this particular case, it's kind of like a shade blend, almost looks like the colors of all of the fursuit itself. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say fursuit, but it uses four references for fursuits. But I really like the way that they do it. You can see all the different colors, which is really unique. So I think they do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
So I thought they deserve to be on this list.
I agree.
And fourth, we have someone by the name of Pup Sonar. Now, I gotta go find their reference sheets here.
Their style is really cute. They're, you know, yeah. The way they do eyes is really unique. They're very small. Round and small. Like, whenever small. I think of eyes that are styled like this, I kind of think of plushies, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, and I love plush style characters. And I know that's not all drawings that they're doing are plushies, of course, but that's just the style it reminds me of. Or like older drawings of storybook animals. They always have that little beady eyed look to it. And I love that.
They just have a roundness to, I guess you could say it's a very, the brushes that they use are very soft.
Yeah, it is a very soft style. They don't have much cell shading at all. It is all soft shading.
There is one, again, there's just an individual kind of piece on their Furfinity page, but the piece name is called Kronos, and it's kind of like this, I don't know, kind of, it might be a little like a dragon or something. It's got reds, got some flamage going on there, but I really like what they do it, especially when they made it pop out, so it pops off of the card, which is kind of cool. So I thought I'd put them on the list.
I like the way they blend their markings as well. Like, they are very soft when they meet each other, as in a hard line, which goes very well with their style.
Yeah. In third place, again, no shocker here. That's why I said she appeared twice, is Dear Dog. Now, Dear Dog does really interesting, I guess you could say, reference sheets. She's done one for me multiple times. She's just, again, take the same notes that we just went over with Feral Toonie Artist, but she does a good job just for reference sheets in general. So, and she's well priced, which is why I put her on the list.
I think
she's
a great reason why Dear Dog style goes well for reference sheets is that she really focuses in on blocking out colors instead of focusing on line art. And there's not a lot of complex shading. Whenever you are making a reference sheet, typically you don't want to shade them because it makes it hard for an artist or a fursuit maker to get accurate colors, especially under different lighting. So the fact that Dear Dog has these strong block colors helps a lot. It's very clear where the markings would be. It's very clear where they would land from different poses, and that helps artists a lot.
With mine, what I basically told her is, like, you know, he wears rainbow glasses because I have rainbow frames, and then his hair has, you know, purple, blue, and pink in this specific order. And she did it. She replicated it fairly well. And he also has like a unicorn in the back of his back. So he's a bear with a unicorn. He's a unibear. But it's cute. It's good to go. It's clean. Phenomenal. In second place, now this is the one I was telling you is like Beauty the Beast meets cartoon, is Nex. That's N-E-X. They have some pretty, like, the shit kind of like stuff. Like, the good kind of stuff.
They got a lot of detailed line art. And
hell yeah,
they aren't scared to go loose with it, which I think more artists need to go for. I feel like when it comes to line art, so many artists are like, okay, I gotta make sure it's perfect. I gotta make sure these lines go exactly here and there. And it's like, no, if you keep it on the sketchier side, you're gonna have more movement. You're gonna have more freedom. Keep it that way. And they have mastered this. They have such great flow with the way their characters are posed and the way the line art is set up. It's almost like it's a cleaned up sketch rather than harsh lines, which I just prefer that overall with any art style. Love it.
Kind of like if you took a story and you slapped it down on paper but made a ref sheet of it, that's what it would look like. There's one on their Fur Affinity page named Luca, and it's all greens. And you would think that, like, neon greens, like, you know, we think like toxic furries usually are all neon greens. But this is actually a really nice sight to see. It doesn't hurt your eyes. It's really beautiful the way that it's done. A lot of care goes into their particular style and how they make up the actual reference sheet. They have reasons for why certain things are the way they are, and they kind of shade that out so you can see it better. Like, there are reference sheets, and then there are detailed reference sheets. And this is a detailed reference sheet.
Something else I really like about this artist is the variety of species and body types that they are able to pull off. There are so many artists that fall into the habit of only drawing canines or felines only, or they only draw one body type, like a toony animal digigrade body type. And this artist seems like they could hit any body type they want to. Like, they have this Stegosaurus or Styracosaurus. It's a dinosaur. And it it looks like it's made of bricks, this thing. The way the scales are drawn out, the colors, the way the body is shaped, it's great. And then on the other hand, you keep going and they have these lanky characters, these creepy string bean monster creatures, and it's like, oh, so good. I love the variety of body shapes.
Did you look at Keanu, the one that's got like the shark tail?
Yeah.
That one's so cool looking.
So sick.
It is pretty cool. And then when you go and you look at their other artwork too, it's phenomenal. There's one in there called, I think it's Ban or Ban Tao. It totally looks like what they did is they took Asian influence, like almost culturistic, like Asian style artwork, and they kind of combined that into their artwork, and then they created like this really kind of badass looking reference sheet. So if you want like a reference sheet that is just not basic, not saying that the other ones are, but you want something that's a little bit more detailed, has more oomph going for it, and then something you could show your friends and say, mine's better. This would be one of those artists that you would want to go to.
Also, shout out on the chicken. Loving the chicken in your gallery.
They have a chicken?
Yeah, a chicken ref sheet. Their name is Toffee or Toffee, one of those. It has glasses. I love it.
Glasses.
It's got glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Love that's me a cute. Good chicken. They got a few chickens up in here.
It's actually kind of cool. It up. They got a rooster. It looks like they got a rooster.
Yeah, there's a rooster. Oh, it's a rooster in a crop top. He's got abs.
Bark!
I love furries. Put a rooster, put that bitch in a crop top, give him muscles. That's what I call hell persona. Yeah. Oh my gosh, so fun.
And in first place, this one shouldn't be a surprise, but you will recognize the name, not because of the amounts of fursuits they have, which they have, in my opinion, too many. But Twilight Saint comes in first place for reference sheets. No one in the fandom comes close to what she is able to produce. And when we're talking like the last artists, we'd be blown away by Twilight Saint's attention to detail. You can go through their gallery. It's phenomenal. And they charge a hefty price, but it's so worth it though.
Their reference sheets, what's interesting about them for me, they have a lot of ref sheets that have size comparisons, which I think is very cool, especially for things like dragon characters, which seems to be their bread and butter.
And they also have like an Israeli kind of like Iraqi influence in there too. Twilight Saint, if you guys don't know, is in the Air Force. She's very proud of it. And she also is really fascinated by, I guess you could say, like Middle East type of culture. So if you want to learn more about her, you can. But she does like have some of that, a lot of it in her stuff. She does a lot of dragons. But what's unique about her dragon work is that it's not just poses. There's close-ups on the eyes, on the feet, on the hands, the mouth, different expressions. And then there is also a storyline that goes with it as well. And that's pretty cool. It's one thing to have a reference sheet, but it's another to have a reference sheet that has storylines, reasonings behind the character, and just details upon details.
Absolutely.
They're a little pricey, but they are amazeballs. So
you get what you pay for, you know?
Absolutely. And our last topic or category is
Telegram stickers.
Now, Telegram stickers are fun. Everyone has at least saved someone else's, you know, stickers on their Telegram profile. This one was really hard to kind of come up with a list for because, again, there's a lot of Telegram, I guess you could say, artists that look just like each other, but they're not. I don't know if they draw inspiration from each other, but
I think it's just when it comes to Telegram stickers, you have to keep it simple. And if you're a toony artist, especially, sometimes it can be hard to differentiate. But I think the artists we picked out today definitely have what separates them from others.
I really like number two and number one.
That makes sense because they're two and one on the list.
Shut up. You're goofy. No, because they just have really phenomenal art styles.
Well, let's get into it. Number five.
Okay. Number five is Rustled Fluff.
I've seen these stickers before out in the wild, just from people using them in chat.
You have, yeah.
I have, definitely.
A lot of their stuff is. I found a lot of these artists actually from a Telegram channel. It was all about stickers, and then I deleted it the other day, and I was like, oh, shit, I should have kept this. Oh, because I can't remember what it's called. But they post every day like new sticker packs from different artists that you can go and click and then download, which is so much better than just waiting for someone to post a sticker.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is one of the artists that kind of has a familiar, similar looks into other sticker packs, but I thought they were pretty cute. They're simple. They have lots of different varieties.
It looks like they're willing to take ideas from customers and what they want the sticker. It's like when I'm looking at these packs, there are definitely popular themes for like emoting and things like happy, sad, no, stop. But it also looks like you could get very personalized, like inside jokes or species specific jokes. Like, it seems like they're going to work with you on what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The next one, so in fourth place is Miss, I don't know if it's Bidoof.
It's Miss or Bidoof. Bidoof.
Miss Bidoof.
It's okay. A Pokemon. Miss Bidoof.
Oh, man, that's just, I feel like I'm tongue-tied there.
Miss Bidoof.
Or no, what is it? Lisp. I got a lisp or something.
Oh, man, this style is really cute, too. I feel like all of our Telegram sticker artists are toony artists. I don't see a lot of Telegram stickers that are realistic. They're either like Photoshopped pictures as like jokes, or their toony art. And I think there's a reason for that. You get a lot of detail in such a small amount of space, so it comes out clearer. And this artist does a great job with that. Their line art is very bold, so I feel like when you look at it on Telegram, when you send it, it's going to come out very clear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. They produce stickers, but they may not be the sets that you're familiar with. They're more like commission based for single shots or something else, but they do produce some good quality stuff. And third place is Brookie Brookie. I believe they are they Australian? I think they might be Australian.
You know, I don't know if they are, but the name Brookie Brookie sounds Australian.
Yeah. So again, they don't have like what you could call, I guess you could say, like sticker packs that are specific to emotions, but they do have stickers that they create, and they're pretty individual and pretty cool. There's one that's like the first one, it's all about pizza.
Food themes. Yeah, I'm looking at one right now that has a lot of food themes to it. Like there's a, looks like Australian Shepherd with a big sandwich and a husky with a knife and... And something pretty I like cool about this artist is the way they draw mouths. Like, I keep going back to smile lines, but it is such a big part of furry art styles typically. They got a lot of cheek meat, like right where the mouth meets the eyeball. It's like they got a pinch of meat right there, and it really helps emote those eyes, which I think is fantastic.
I think if you want to look for their sticker packs specifically, you would want to go to their Instagram, which is just instagram.com/brookie.brookie. And that's B-R-O-O-K-I. You'll find more stuff. I find a lot of artists will just post their stuff on Instagram, more or less, if they're not on Fur Affinity, which they are, but they have more options on Instagram itself.
The name Brookie Brookie kind of reminds me of like Tookie Tookie.
Cookie Cookie. Oh.
You remember that movie? Oh, was it George of the Jungle?
All right. In second place, I found this one and I instantly fell in love. And that's not because they're in second place. It is Cinnamon Spots. Now, they are very, I guess you could say, bubbly toony type of characters.
It is bubbly. That's a good descriptor.
Yeah.
They have very, very round shapes, very soft shapes. And they also have a mix of cell and soft shading, which helps those shapes pop out at you.
Now, their sticker packs are popular. They're all over the place.
Yeah, I recognized it immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, I knew exactly who they were. And it was really interesting because I was like, okay, I found this person. I'm going to go now search for another artist. And as I was clicking on sticker packs, it came back as Cinnamon Spots. And I'm like, again? So it's hard to find like individual artists that do specific stickers because a lot of their stuff can kind of, it looks like it could be someone else. And at the very end, there's that last square that says art by, and then it's like Cinnamon Spots. And I think they've changed like their logo a couple of times. So I was just like thrown off, but they have really cool, fun stuff. A lot of their stuff is very popular. You'll be very familiar with it when you go and look it up while you're listening to this episode. And you'll be like, oh yeah, I know this artist.
It's always fun when that happens.
Yeah, it's always fun. And then the last one in first place, I think it's Pollux or Pulix Art.
I think Pollux Art.
Pollux Art.
Mm-hmm.
They're also incredibly popular. If you go to their website, which I do have listed in this document, you're going to go to the second option at the top. This is Telegram sticker links. And as you scroll down, you're going to be like, oh my God, I know exactly who this artist is. You're going to recognize every single sticker pack because I guarantee you everyone has at least one or two of these in their pack.
And I really like how they organize their website. I feel like I'm scrolling through an actual, like at a con when they have boards full of stickers, that's what it feels like I'm looking at right now. It makes it very easy to find the packs that you're looking for.
And the cool thing about the site and how they've done this is if you like what you see on here, you can click on it and it pulls up Telegram, whether you have it on your desktop or on your phone or as an, whatever, it'll pull it up and then you can add that sticker pack to your account.
So you're straight just up from sticker the shopping straight up.
Pretty much, yeah. And they just have super cute stuff, which is the reason why I put them at the top, because one, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, I know who you are. Oh yeah. So they're just pretty good. They're just like overall amazing. Looks like they've got pre-made sticker packs, and then you can also custom do a commission pack as well. Looks like their packs are about $11 if you want to just own the pack itself. And I think these are like specific custom packs. So they're different from the other pre-mates, I believe.
Sick.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So yeah, that's our top five furry artists with those categories. If we ever do this again, we'll probably do different categories. If you have suggestions for artists that you want us to look at, maybe you're an artist or your friend's an artist, please let us know. You can email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. You can tweet us at @FromTheMuzzle, or you can even join our Telegram group and then message one of us directly and go that way as well. Either way works. So we love seeing new artists. We love kind of featuring them. But yeah, this is like one giant featured artist in like an episode.
Yeah, honestly.
So pretty much. Yeah, so let's see. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 different artists. Well, that is your dog, but it's all good. The repeats. So yeah, do you have any last words?
Wow, it's like a threat, Space. You have any last words?
Last words.
The only thing I have left to say is just remember in our descriptions everywhere, there's going to be links to these artists. So if you do want to look around and see and commission any of them, it's always great to support any artists that you find. Continue to support your artists, especially during these weird times where eggs are $7. And yeah. So if you have the pennies to spare and you want to check these guys out, go toss them a coin, get some cool art.
Yeah, that's well said. Anyways, as we always say, thanks for listening to our episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.